Yeah. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. They blow stuff up. And I was like, what? Were you explosives? He's like, yeah, yeah, you just blow things up. And I was like, sold. Done. Yeah.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and welcome to Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by a longtime friend, soon to retire guardsman, Pedro Cordova. Mm-hmm. You are with Recruiting and Retention. You've been a recruiter a long time. I think I've always known you as a recruiter. Mm-hmm. He's here to share his story, kind of the things you've learned over your 30 years in the Guard. And just you've got a fascinating story, and I love hearing it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just wanted you to know that I had to move my Joe Rogan podcast over a little bit. I wanted to be here more than that.
You were a featured guest.
I was a featured guest, yeah. We were going to do a three-hour set, and you know, just, well, I wanted to be here.
I appreciate you coming here instead. So, intro and background on yourself.
A little bit about myself. I'm about to wrap up a 30-year career in the National Guard. I ended up joining when I was 19, so I came into the Guard a little bit late. It's a pretty normal kind of story, I think. I wanted to go to college, couldn't afford going to college. I was already a year into school, and somebody kind of told me about the National Guard. And I suffered from kind of what I think a lot of the general public suffers from, which is they don't know what the Guard is. At that time when I was 19, I had no clue what the National Guard was. So I ended up looking into it, joined the National Guard, like I said, when I was 19. December 28th, 1994, went to basic 2 months later, Fort Leonard Wood. And for me, the National Guard was really just going to be a kind of a quid pro quo thing. I was going to get my college paid for and then get out. And what I wasn't prepared for was, you know, falling in love with the National Guard. Loved everything that we did, participated in a you know, kind of a plethora of things that the Guard was actively doing through my career. And so here I am, 49 years old, and then about to retire, about 5 months away from retirement. And just hope we can talk a little bit more in depth about some of the experiences.
Yeah. So you'd mentioned joining the Guard for the college education mm-hmm. benefits. Same mm-hmm. thing, right? I joined not knowing what the Guard was, right. But I knew I needed college money.
Sure.
How did you learn about the Guard?
So it was a friend of mine who was already in. His name was Nathan Gilman. He had already been in the Guard, I think, for like a year or two. And we were just kind of having a dinner table conversation, and he heard my plight. He was like, oh, you want to go to college? Okay, well, have you thought about joining the Guard? And I wasn't really, you know, opposed to the idea. I wasn't really pro or anti-military. Nobody in my family had ever really been in the military. I'm a first generation born in the United States. So it wasn't something that I was, like, going out and trying to find. It was just there. It was, you know, kind of there. And so he said, National Guard, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe we'll see him and Han. He's like, well, but they'll pay for your college. And I was like, well, now you got me. And that was it. I went and talked to the recruiter. And I don't know what your experience was like, but I don't really remember even my recruiter's name. But I remember, you know, he told me about the National Guard, their mission, and then most importantly, that they'll pay for my college. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I ended up here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my recruiter, Trisha Veshka, I distinctly remember hearing, hey, we're going to pay for your college and here's a bonus. At the time it was $4,000 and, which felt like a lot for mm-hmm. an 18-year-old kid. Now looking back, I'm like, man, that was not a lot of money.
No.
'Cause a couple of years later, they were giving away like 20 grand bonuses. So
I think I got like a $2,000 bonus or something, and just some little tiny.
Yeah. What was that first job?
Combat engineer. Same. So I was a 12 Bravo. I knew I didn't want to be infantry. I knew enough about the military to know I didn't want to be infantry. I couldn't really tell you that I had a reason why. I just didn't want to be infantry. And I did tell my recruiter, I was like, well, how close can I get to the infantry? And he's like, well, combat engineer. And I'm like, what is that?
Sure.
Yeah. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. They blow stuff up.
Yeah.
More colorful words.
And I think that's part of what sold me, too. They blow stuff up.
And I was like, what? Were you explosives? He's like, yeah, you just blow things up. And I was like, sold. Done. Yep. And so I did that for the first 10 years of my National Guard career.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's crazy. So yeah, 30 years and going through your background, you have an extremely impressive background. Not just, you know, deployments, right? Mm-hmm. But also on the state missions. You've done a number of state missions. Yeah, yeah, highlight some of those.
Yeah. So when I came back, we fought fires, which is, it's not the way that they fight fires now. It's not even the same pay, but it's very it was very fulfilling work. I think we did the Mule Creek is what they called it, but we did a lot of firefighting. I probably did two or three of those. We did a couple of floods. 1999, I did the World Trade Organization when President Clinton came into town. That was amazing because that was kind of my first experience with rioting. And then we did Operation Noble Eagle. So right after 9/11, we got activated to do all of the security for the international airports. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been an amazing kind of a career where I just got to participate in so many of the, you know, kind of what we do, like, you know, our bread and butter as guardsmen, of going out there and, you know, helping fellow Washingtonians through whatever trials and tribulations that they're going through. Kind of the goal, what I like to call the golden era. We do some stuff now, but I felt like back then I was just constantly doing all of these amazing things. In fact, my very, very first drill, when I showed up to my unit, so Alpha Company 898 we were in the old Oaks Avenue, not 27th, I think it might have been 2730 Oaks Avenue, but it's now like a historic building. Mm-hmm. My very first drill, we went to Sultan and we built a leadership course for a Boys and Girls Club. Now imagine, you know, 19 years old doing that. I was like, this is the best thing that I've ever done in my life. And that's really kind of where my passion started, I think, and when I fell in love with the National Guard.
Yeah, and I grew up in the old 898, too. I was in Charlie Company up in Bellingham, and kind of that same feel, right? Mm-hmm. It was that we came home from deployment in Bellingham. Mm-hmm. We would run PT tests by the airport.
Right.
People would watch us and cheer for us as we're running AC or APFT at the time. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. So it's just that old school feel of the Guard. So.
Yeah. Not that it's bad now.
No, it's not bad now.
It was just different.
So I mean, this is not your first time as a recruiter. You were a recruiter prior, and then you took a little break, right?
Correct.
So kind of talk about what got you into recruiting.
So recruiting is kind of an interesting story. I had just come off of deployment. I was in Iraq in 04 and 05, came back. And I was kind of floundering a little bit, didn't really know what I was going to do, kind of doing that long final terminal leave piece, you know, that you've deployed. So, you know, mm-hmm. you take that month off or that month and a half where you're just kind of regrouping. And I was trying to figure out, you know, who I was, what I was going to do. And a friend of mine called me and said, hey, there's an ADOS position available here on Camp Murray working for Recruiting and Retention Battalion. I really didn't know a lot about the AGR program or even the ADOS program. I was an MDAR, just part-time, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. And then I just worked. That was kind of what I did up until I got deployed. So when I found out about this ADOS, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I did that for about 5.5 years. And then, you know, people that know me kind of know my personality were like, you should think about recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, and I don't want to recruit. For those that don't know, Pedro, extreme showman, right? That's the only way I can say
I'm contained right now.
Very contained. Gone to a number of National Guard Association auctions with you, mm-hmm. and you somehow would find ways to get money out of people for auction items.
Yeah, yeah.
Extremely great showman, and so I think it's always great to say that about somebody. So
thank you. Well, it was actually Colonel Durda. So she was the one that said, you know, let's move you out to recruiting. And I went kicking and screaming. And I still to this day tip my hat to her because that was one of the best decisions that I think anyone's ever kind of done on my behalf, was to force me out there and do something that I didn't necessarily I didn't want to do it, but not because I didn't think I could do it. I just didn't want to do it. Like, that just wasn't what I wanted to do. So I go into recruiting, and lo and behold, as you can imagine, I'm fairly good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people, talking to young men and women, going to high schools, making phone calls, just kind of all of this, the regular in and outs of recruiting. And what I discovered was that, you know, I enjoyed it. Okay. I still wasn't content with the idea of doing it. So what I was doing is I was kind of trying to find something else to do. And that's what led to the break. So I had someone in the guard. There's going to be a lot of guard connections here. Someone in the guard offered me a position to go work at Microsoft. And they said, hey, you know, I like your work ethic. I like your attitude. I like, you know, who you are, generally speaking. You want to come work for me at Microsoft? And I said, yeah, let's do that. And for me, that was more of a personal challenge just to see if I could function outside of the realm of the military. Because remember, I'd been in the military at this point for 12 years, mm-hmm. right? And so I wanted to kind of prove to myself that I could function outside of the government, of working for the government. And so I did it. I was very successful at it. And I enjoyed it. But what I kind of had this epiphany moment where I recognized, like, you know, I only had 6 years of active duty left.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I should go wrap up my active duty time. Talked with the wife, the boss, and, you know, we kind of concluded, yeah, let's do that. So I came back to recruiting after kind of taking a three, almost 4 year break from AGR. And then I came back with more resolve. That's when I really came back and said, okay, I'm going to really dedicate myself to yeah. recruiting and be the best recruiter that I can. And that's when I truly saw like massive success recruiting. So that's kind of the story on that.
Yeah. And I think if anybody that knows you or has worked with you, they know you have a passion for the Guard. You don't hide that passion. You right. are always trying to find ways to get that message yeah. out there. Where does that come from, that passion for the Guard?
I think for me, it comes from my early days of being on some of those domestic missions. I think that now as I look back, I'm a father. I got, two boys and a girl. My oldest is in college right now, wrapping up his last year of college at Wazoo. Shout out to Wazoo. And what I've noticed with my children is that I think sometimes it's young men and women kind of get generally told how they what to expect in life, but nobody really dives into the details of how to get to that success, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that happened with me as well. Like my parents really tried to help me move into life after, you know, 18, after high school, but there was not like any specificity with it. It was just kind of like go to college, you know, or do find a job,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And so when I came back to recruiting the second time, what I kind of challenged myself to do is that any person that I talked to, I was going to explain to them all of the benefits that came with the National Guard, and not just from the perspective of like how the National Guard can help them and how we can get, you know, our pound of flesh, but like how this is going to help them in the long term. Like,
yeah.
hey, this is going to help you 10 years from now. This is going to help you 15 years from now. This is going to help you 20 years from now when you want to buy a house, when you want to do this, whatever the case may be. And that's where that passion came from, right? It's me wanting to kind of just help young men and women find purpose, because the National Guard really did help me and my family and gave me a lot of purpose. And I wanted to reflect that, you know, back to the yeah. young men and women that I help.
Yeah. And so now kind of looking at the next phase of your, mm-hmm. your life after being in uniform, you're working through Hiring America's Heroes or Hiring Our Heroes,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And you're going to start at Oracle. So kind of explain how that all came about.
Yeah. So I'd never knew anything about Hiring Our Heroes, hashtag Hiring Our Heroes. Go check it out if you're ready to retire, or even if you're just getting ready to get out of the military. They're a great program. And what they do is they're working with, kind of Fortune 100 companies as well as skill companies. So think of like Caterpillar, think of like welding companies, craft, you know, if you want to, whatever you want to do, pipe fitter unions, things like that. So the idea is the way that, as far as I understand it, the way that this program kind of got started was the Department of Defense was noticing a radical unemployment with young men and women that were joining the military, only doing, you know, 3 or 4 years, because, you know, you go right out of high school. You go 3 or 4 years in the military, you get out, and you really don't have any discernible skills that you can then take into the workforce. So they were noticing this, and so they said, hey, let's work with companies. We're going to offer them an opportunity to have this person come work for them, learn a skill, learn a trade, whatever the case may be. And then when their time is up, and they're doing that on DOD dime, so the corporation doesn't pay for that person. They don't have benefits. It's just a fellowship, an internship. Mm-hmm. And then once they're done, hopefully that person has proven themselves valuable enough to the company to then have a job. Yeah. So that's kind of how it started. Well, now it's expanded. A lot of corporations are involved. A lot of skill, like carpentries, unions, all sorts of people are really involved. And if you're retiring or you just did, you know, 2 or 3 years in the military, you can take advantage of hiring our heroes. And it's a great program. They help you with resume building, with how to interview, job placements, fellowships. They even do some stuff for your spouses. They'll pay for you to move if the training is in a specific area. They'll house you there so you can do that. I mean, it's a very, very well thought out program. And I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity for them to allow me the opportunity to kind of to do this. And so, yeah, now I'm going to go to Oracle. I'm doing a fellowship there for about 2.5 months. That's a site reliability engineer. So essentially preventing what happened with X when everything went down. It's kind of triaging something like that. And so I'm just very excited to move on to that next chapter. But definitely check out Hiring Our Heroes. It's a great, great organization that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Until I go retire.
So as you kind of transition out, what are some of the things you're going to miss?
Oof, I think it's too many. I think one of the things that I think that at the top is probably going to be, and I think anybody who's ever worn this uniform can really kind of understand, is in the military you meet so many people, and sometimes you don't see them for years. Months, years, whatever, and then you see them and it's like you pick right up, like you never even miss time. And I don't know how to quantify that. I mean, I have some very close friends that are like that, but in the military it seems like you do that with everybody. And I don't know why we do that or where that comes from, but I think that's the thing I'm going to miss the most, is just, you know, that fluidness of friendship, of camaraderie, of fellowship, where you're just, you know, I mean, I haven't seen you in a while, you know, and it's, hey, how's it going? How's life? You know, and it's just, I don't know. You don't really get that in a lot of places. You get that with some of your close friends, but outside of that, you know, it's a really hard thing to get. So I'll miss that. And I think just being a part of something bigger than you, I'll probably miss that as well.
Yeah. What's kind of that final message to those young service members or soon to be service members that are on the fence about joining?
It'll be the best decision that you ever make, whether it's intentional. Some people make it on purpose. They're very diligent. They're very thought out. Or if it's unintentional, like me, I accidentally kind of fell into it. The National Guard for me has literally helped me and my family, you know, probably half a dozen times throughout 30 years, where we were like in desperate places, and you know, you make a phone call and be like, "Yeah, let me get you some orders. Let's put you on, you know, whatever the case may be." Like you can't, you don't get that I know of anywhere else. You know, that true sense of family, and we truly do take care of each other, and we care about each other, and you know, we at the end of the day, we're here to help. As much and as best as we can, the people from Washington, you know, or whatever capacity.
Yeah.
So do it. Definitely do it. You'll never regret it. I've never regretted joining the military. Never, ever. Not one time. Even with all of the ups and downs, and there's lots of downs and there's lots of ups. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's perfect, but I've never, never regretted my decision. Joining the National Guard.
Yeah, that's a fantastic message, and I'm glad you were able to join us and move your other podcast you're going to be on. Truly, right? I mean, you kind of said it. It's been probably a couple of years since we've seen each other, but yeah, you feel like you just pick up, and we kind of we've ebbed and flowed for years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, our paths cross, and we'd always have good conversations, good laughs, and everything. And I've always appreciated that. Yeah. I will miss you around here. And
me too. I'll miss being around here.
Truly, I wish nothing but the best for you.
Thank
my
you.
Friend,
so I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. If you like the episode, give it a like. If you want to know more about the Guard, write in the comments. Subscribe for more videos. And Pedro, once again, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Go Guard.